Welcome to I'm Screaming, a podcast for anyone who's ever felt like shamelessly screaming at the top of their lungs over a moment in pop culture.
Because sometimes pop culture can be scary and you just gotta let it out. Let's scream about it together.
Hello, Megan.
Hi, Giselle.
Sorry, you were counting down and I just went for it. Here we are. We took last week off because not a lot happened. And instead of recording, we just chatted. So...
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously stuff happened, but just, like, nothing we were that interested in talking about, no offense.
Sorry.
We didn't want to bring you an episode of us being like, yeah, and then this happened, and that was, like, cool, and then this happened, and that was lame, because we always want to bring our passion and verve.
Our verve. Our
what's
best
that, What's
selves.
That from? That's from the Miley Cyrus.
Yes.
Filled with
Oh, honey!
I'd do anything but you.
I mean, Miley, speaking of Miley, we have things to chat about today with her.
Absolutely.
But yes, we're back for another episode this week. Lots to chat about, lots of chaotic things happening. I'm looking at our list and I'm like, where do we even begin? Do we just start with Cyrus drama since we're here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, is really dark.
You dropped a bomb on me yesterday and I'm like, is this exclusive? Like, is this real? Are we taking this word as bond?
I mean, wasn't it like a People article?
Yeah, it was like either People or Us Weekly, but it was like exclusive.
It was exclusive, and it was like also, it was also reported, it was Us Weekly, yeah.
Okay.
It was reported by the Daily Mail, too, which like we know means kind of nothing, but also could mean something.
Us Weekly feels like it means something.
Us Weekly kind of feels, and it said exclusive. And I feel like everyone is reporting this now, like, okay, we have a latest 3 hours ago as well. Okay, so basically what happened, the headline is that the Cyrus family feud that's been going on, where it's, like, Billy Ray and some of the kids, and then it's, like, Tish and Miley and Brandy on one side.
Yes.
Like, Noah's with her dad.
Yes.
That the real root and cause of it is that Tish's new husband, Dominic Purcell, who was on Prison Break for many years.
And Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, right.
That's how I know him.
and is Tish's new husband, she just talked about him on Call Her Daddy, was actually with Noah first.
This,
which is,
to
like,
me?
Seriously dark and sinister. So, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. I mean, first of all, Noah Cyrus is currently married, I think, also.
Yes.
So that's chaos.
Fiance.
But also,
fiance,
sorry.
Whose name is Pincus.
She's so... I mean, the thing about this that's crazy is, number one, if this is true, which, like, the Us Weekly exclusive seems to make it believe it's true, Dominic Purcell feels very out of her usual man. Like,
right.
Before she dated that Lil Xan guy that was very toxic and scary.
Yeah.
And then now she's with this other guy whose name is supposedly Pinky. Dominic Purcell feels like, what'd you say? It's not Pinky?
It's Pincus, but we have to call him Pinky now.
Pinky. Pincus! Dominic Purcell feels like a little bit of a wild card, a red herring in this crew.
Absolutely. The only reason where my mind jumps to make it kind of make sense, is that if you watched any of the clips of Tish on Call Her Daddy, she was talking about how she had a crush on him for years because they would always watch Prison Break.
Yes.
And, like, Brandy was like, yeah, we'd all watch it. So I'm like, okay, was this a family thing where they were all like, oh my God, he's so hot.
Right.
Whatever.
Who's going to get Dominic Purcell?
Literally, Marie Claire wrote about it too. An Us Weekly source shares a wild rumor. I mean, yes, it is a wild rumor, of course, speculation about Tish and Noah Cyrus's alleged feud. And then a couple hours ago, apparently Noah posted a quote unquote bizarre workout video in the midst of all of this speculation that's happening. It's just, like, very, very strange. And that, like, apparently, like, some of the details in the article were that, like, when Tish and Dominic got married, like, Miley
yes.
had security at the gate blocking, even if Noah, like, tried to come, like, blocking her entrance because she lives, like, really close to Miley. So this is, like, seriously just...
Yeah, I mean, the source maybe is someone, of course, close to Noah.
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing about this, Meg, and you know there's always something brewing under the surface. There's mm-hmm. every time something seems fine, it's probably not.
Right.
And we always, for years, would say, like, you know, out of all the girlies, like, Miley seems like her family is chaotic, but fine. Like, they're strong. Right. They love each other.
That they love each other. Yeah, exactly.
And, like, this is going to be okay. And also, like, Tish, from all her interviews, obviously, seems to be someone who cares a lot about her kids. And also, her and Noah seem very close. So, it does feel, while chaotic, more plausible to me that Noah is mad that her mom stole Dominic Purcell rather than the fact that, like, the rest of the family can't get on board with Fire Rose.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. 100%. That, and apparently, like, Trace, I just saw this, like, Trace Cyrus of,
yeah.
what, 303, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, oh.
No, Metro Station.
Metro Station. Yeah.
So sorry to 303. That he, like, posted about Miley on his story winning a Grammy and, like, Noah, like, unliked his posts or whatever.
Yeah.
Because of that. Like, this is, like, a deep cut, like, whatever happened. So it's not just, like, a we don't get along right now because of this new, like, as you said, because of this new person. It's, like, it feels like a betrayal situation where there's bad, bad blood.
And I could definitely, yeah. I could see it being, like, Miley being, like, Noah, like, let mom be happy.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? And Noah's like, you stole my man.
Yeah.
But Dominic doesn't seem to be concerned.
Because, which, like, you know. let's not even mention the age difference there.
That, I mean, that in general is extremely dark. But to me, this is extremely telling about Tish, but also it's extremely telling about Dominic Purcell.
Literally.
That he was, like, that he was fooling around seeing Noah and then was like, oh, let me just go marry her mom.
Oh, boy.
Meanwhile, Miley's...
Oh, my God. You know, he dated Annalyn McCord.
Oh, really?
He was married for 10 years and has 4 kids with that woman. And then in 2011, he dated Annalyn McCord for 3 years. And then they broke up and then rekindled their romance a year later. And then until 2018, they dated.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. And then they started dating again in 2020. Okay. So that was an on and off decade with Annalyn McCord.
Of 90210 reboot
fame. Of 90210 fame of I Wish I Was Your Mother, Donald Trump.
Right.
Was it Donald Trump? Yeah.
Yes.
And then in November 2022, he started dating Tish Cyrus.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they married in August 2023. So less than a year later.
I wanted more for the Cyrus family. I did.
I mean, it's just really dark. And, like, clearly, like...
Billy Ray and Fire Rose are dark.
Yeah, Billy Ray is, like, a fuck up. Like, he's just ridiculous.
It's embarrassing for him,
He's
honestly.
A Nepo dad.
Yeah,
if there's
literally.
There's ever been a Nepo dad, he's a Nepo dad.
Tish saving his career, getting him on Hannah Montana, honestly.
Because she was the momager, as she told
Alex
Cooper. But yeah, just really dark vibes. And, like, Miley, meanwhile, just, like, truly living her life with her
literally.
Big hair, putting out her collab with Pharrell on Friday, all of a sudden, which is great. New music.
With her, like, model musician boyfriend. Like, okay, go off. Serve,
I guess. But also, she might be in a cult. We still don't know.
I never in my wildest dreams thought that Demetria Lovato would be the most stable person of these three ladies. Never in my life.
You mean Selena Gomez isn't stable? Wait to answer my love on.
I know. I only listened once. Poor Selena. But Demi really is just like getting married to Jutes.
Jutes.
Jutes and like
Pinky.
Fucking living. Literally Jutes and Biggie. But Demi is really living. And I'm so happy for Demi Lovato.
Do you think we'll get a Demi album this year? Since all the girls are dropping albums.
I think we'll get a Demi album top of next year.
Top of next year, I agree.
I think she's going to do the marriage thing. I think she's going to write the marriage album. And I think we're going to get it top of next year.
Love.
I think Demi needs to not put out... Demi Lovato, don't put out music this year, please.
She is... I know, but she is under new management. And, like...
Yeah, true.
I mean, I'm sure, like...
Did we ever figure out what happened to Scooter Braun? Like... What
he's
actually
fine.
Happened?
He's still like managing people. He's like he's Usher's manager, so he's fine.
Oh, Usher Raymond. Oh no.
He was at the Super Bowl. He's fine.
Ugh.
Yeah, Demi.
Selena also dark, dark, dark for me.
Selena dark. Selena always looking vacant, always looking... But, like, then she's at the SAG Awards, and she's at, like, everything. So, like, maybe she's fine. I don't know.
I mean, maybe Benny Blanco is, you know, really getting her together.
Benny Blanco? Oh, Benny Blanco, right. I was thinking of Benny Drama because he's on my mind because his show just got picked up. And Charlie XCX is going to be the musical director.
Yes.
And also, did you see that the Charlie XCX album is called Brat?
Brat.
And it's coming out in the summer.
I did see. And, I mean, Von Dutch fucking finally tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Finally. I mean, Charlie is in her chaotic era. Literally. Charlie's in her chaotic era, which, you know,
she's always been chaotic.
This is going to be a party album. I'm ready for a party summer. Let's go. Let's ride.
But happy for
Benny Drama. I think he's funny. So yeah. I'm happy for him.
Yeah. Did you see the TikTok or the video of him and his boyfriend's mom like hugging? That was really sweet.
They're cute. They've been here for so long. Yeah. Yeah, they're really cute. Benny Drama, congrats to you from I'm Screaming.
Yes, love you.
Love you, hearts. Yeah, we worry about the Cyruses, but, you know, we will see how this plays out. I wonder if the Tish and Brandy are going to talk about it on the podcast. Like, you have a fucking podcast. You can't just avoid it.
I mean, celebrities can, and they do, and they will, because they're annoying.
We'll see. We will see. Stay tuned. Okay. Moving on to Who the Fuck Did I Marry?
Tell me about it, Giselle.
So if you were on Beyonce's internet this last few weeks, you would have seen Risa Tisa, who literally took over TikTok for like a whole week, about her story about her pathological lying ex-husband, who she coined to be named Legion. On, like, in her story. And the thing about this is that this woman put out 50 parts. And each part is 10 minutes at minimum. At minimum. But basically, almost the entire internet, me included, sometimes on 2x speed, sometimes not. I got through all 50 parts. And I hope... The thing that's so sad about this is, like, I feel like, obviously, Risa Tisa is having her moment, but in, like, fully 2 weeks, no one's going to care about it anymore, as the internet is. But this woman, I want her to get a book deal. I want her to get a show. Tyler Perry, pick up the fucking rights. Like, basically, this man, she meets this man in 2020, right before the pandemic. Like, February 20th. And they go on a few dates. Their first date, she was supposed to meet him. Her car breaks down. Like, she's like, this should have been my sign, sister. Right. It should have. they end up, like, moving in together and, like, staying with each other during the pandemic. He's lied to her that he's a VP. He has, like, you know, an offshore bank account. He has $700,000 in the bank. He has faked mortgage letters from, like, Chase Bank saying that they've approved him for, like, $750,000 mortgages. He's like, they're going to see the houses. He's putting all cash offers in. He's writing all cash offers. There's never proof of funds. He refuses to show. He's lied about everything in his life. Everything is a lie. It really, like, this woman is a storyteller. She kept the internet engaged for 50 parts, and then, like, this one woman, like, she told everyone, don't find Legion. Then, of course, the internet, like, they found him. Like, it's just crazy. It's crazy.
This is so dark, Giselle. I can't even speak. I can't even engage. I couldn't even engage with it because, like, I knew, obviously, I would be so sucked into it.
Oh, my God.
So I knew, like, the internet would eventually do a little recap for me. But, like, genuinely... Just as you said, she is a storyteller. Like, the clips that I have seen and the takes that I have seen, people are so engaged, couldn't put it down. I mean, people complain about 3.5 hour movies, never mind a 7.5 hour TikTok saga. People were saying like, oh my gosh, like if you just pick 4 Risa Tisa videos and you go on the Stairmaster at the gym, like you do a 45-minute workout.
Literally, I should have done that. Damn. Yeah, no, I mean Risa Tisa. Every time she posts, I'm like, wow. The story continues. We had an update yesterday.
I saw that actually did come up on my TikTok, but because I haven't engaged with the
brother was clarifying things.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Okay. She's trying to go to Paris. Like, truly, it's so much. I just hope that she's okay. I hope that nothing bad happens to her. Legion is scary and obviously a liar. He went to jail, like fully, like crazy shit. Crazy shit.
Jesus.
But if you have the chance and you need something to do, I would highly recommend going to Risa Tisa's page and tuning in. My friend Kubale found on YouTube, it's a continuous loop of all 50 parts. So if you're not a
continuous loop.
Because she doesn't have TikTok. Oh, but of my course, God. On Twitter, they were talking about Risa Tisa. So if you just want, and what I did was I put it on my computer, like on TikTok, but I played it like in the background. So I didn't watch her videos, but like I'd be doing work and I'd just be listening to Risa Tisa.
It's like a podcast.
Like a podcast, literally.
Amazing. So, the internet allows us opportunities to be women in STEM every day.
And I hope that she makes so much money from this.
Oh, I'm sure she will. I'm sure she already has like made a decent amount of money, but she'll be referenced and she'll be getting podcasts. Like,
I think she's gonna get a new car. And, like,
oh, fully, good.
So
good.
Many things. Legion promised her a car, it never happened. So, ugh, like, you know, Legion. It's just, we hate Legion. But yes, I just needed to tell the people that
We needed
to hear. Who the fuck did you marry? It was very important to me for a very long time.
Amazing.
Should we keep going?
We should keep going. Wait, I was going to bring something up quickly. Oh, it's not on our list, and I don't think we need to go through it because I think it was basically like as predicted. But except for the SAG Awards, Pedro Pascal won lead actor in a drama. I wanted to acknowledge that.
We are acknowledging that he is everything.
He looks so amazing. As we said, his hair, the curls falling in his face, like, just sensational.
He is the actor we deserve. Like, he is the celebrity we deserve. I'm so happy to be existing at the same time as Pedro Pascal. Like, I am such a stan. I love him. Congratulations. You were amazing in The Last of Us.
He was really good in it. Like,
I'm happy he got recognition.
And, like, it was so funny because I feel like we were just recently talking about, what were we talking about? We were talking about his career trajectory and how, like, Game of Thrones was really the first big thing for him. And like, he has just recently said that about how, like, he owes his career to Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And how if he hadn't gotten that, it wouldn't be. And that still feels so recent, weirdly, you know what I mean?
I know.
Like, as much as it has been over for a while. It's so recent, so I'm just really happy for him because he seems like a good person too. Like, I was down a rabbit hole, like, I saw like a tweet basically about this British actor. I don't know if you probably recognize him, Ben Whishaw.
I'm going to look up the name as you speak.
Yeah, and basically about how like he was in this show, called This Is Gonna Hurt with the girl Ambika Ahmad, who was in One Day, and how he met his boyfriend on the show.
Oh wow.
And I also know his boyfriend is in Slow Horses, and then I was on his boyfriend's Instagram and Pedro Pascal was at the same Friendsgiving as his boyfriend. And I was like, oh, that's Pedro. Like, what? He
Pedro!
Just randomly popped up. So, you know, he is everywhere. He is
He's the actor's actor, I feel.
He's kind of friends with everyone. Like, it's good. It's nice to see, like, someone so beloved, like, win. And he was very cute in accepting his speech.
I know. I love him. Deeply.
But, yeah. Just wanted to acknowledge that. We had some leftover stuff from last week because we did have a little bit of a short list.
Yes.
Which I feel like we have more to talk about one of them now because more has happened. Dune Part 2 comes out on Friday. And the press tour has been one for the ages.
It has. This is a real press tour that they're on right now. They are really laying all the stops out, like, got their 4 actors and said, get the fuck on the road.
Yeah. They heard the internet talking about how there's no movie stars anymore, and they said, bet.
They said, we have four.
Bet.
And I'm really only seeing two. But, you know. Yeah, our pivot, our trajectory, our full 180 with Florence Pugh is something that should be studied. She, like, that purple outfit with the Aperol Spritz, as we said, that moment was her villain origin story. Like, she has just become evil to me. Her soul is evil. I don't know, like,
She just unsettles me, my spirit. And, like,
she didn't used to be like that.
I think she's always been like this, and I think it's just, like, the way of framing and, like, things that have happened in context a little bit. Like, I mean, I don't know, like, Cooking with Flo used to be so endearing and stuff.
I loved, like, Cooking with
Flo. She is just becoming more A-list. She's becoming more mainstream, and I think as that has happened, it's felt a little less authentic.
Yeah.
Like, I just watched a clip of this interviewer, and there's this whole thing going on right now where, like, they have these, like, TikTokers interviewing them and doing this stuff, and they're like, bring back real interviewers, bring back real insight, bring back real questions, like, and this guy, I think his name's Kevin McCarthy, not the former speaker.
LOL.
But he posted, and you probably know him, G. He's, like, very earnest and, like, really is always asking about, like, the craft and whatever. And so he tweeted, and he was like, you know, loved geeking out about cinematography with Zendaya and Florence Pugh, and then goes on to say about how every time he's interviewed Zendaya, she's been so insightful about the filmmaking process and clearly, like, loves it and whatever. And I watched the clip, and Florence Pugh doesn't speak at all. She just sits there with kind of, like, a sourpuss on her face.
Yeah.
And, like, listen, I'm not trying to, you know, I feel like, again, there's always an opportunity for us to sound like we're not being feminist and not women supporting women, but also, like, I'd say the same thing if she was a man, you know what I mean? Zendaya was just so engaging and friendly and, like, you know, really gave an insightful answer, and I don't know if Florence started talking after that, but this is how I felt about most of their interviews. It's, like, when she's inputting, like, because clearly, like, and I mean, knows, like, spoilers for Dune Part 2, but I do know that she's in Dune Part 2 as much as Zendaya is in Dune Part 1. Like, she is not the star.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if it's, you know, that she's taking a backseat and whatever, and it's uncomfortable for her or whatever, but especially because it's not just, it's, you know, it's not like with Oppenheimer where it's, like, Cillian Murphy. Like, it's Timmy and Zendaya. Like, she's worked with Timmy before. I don't know. There's just been kind of, like, a weird energy on this press tour of, like, these people definitely do not like each other.
Right. And it's also just hard because, like, Timmy and Zendaya are, like, legitimate friends.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's one layer. And then I'm so fucking tired. If one more person asks them if it's weird that they kiss, I'm going to freak out. I don't.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're saying about, like, the goddamn TikTok so influencers annoying. Getting to interview them. Like, ask them a real question. They don't. No, they don't. Right. They're professionals. They're actors. Like, that is being an actor.
Right. And asking them, like, you know, all the questions about, like, oh, if they hang out off set, like, all this shit. Like, obviously they don't. Like,
if
Timmy and Zendaya are maybe in an interview, fine. Like, you can ask them questions about being friends because they make it very known that they are friends. But, like, everyone else, they are just getting a check, collecting a paycheck. Like,
it's like, we all have our work friends, right? And we love our work friends. But also, like, I think, especially with actors, it's, like, when you spend an 11-hour day on set together, like, you are not going home to hang out, you know, like...
Right.
Not every night, at least. Like, I don't know. Maybe there are certain casts, but this one is clear to me that they are not, like, besties
in any way, shape, or form. No, and I mean, Austin Butler is there with his voice.
Sawdust for brains.
Literally, like, I don't need to see him on a press tour anymore. This press tour, at least.
I mean, he's gorgeous, is the thing.
Yeah, he's beautiful.
And he's been turning some looks as well. Like,
yeah.
I definitely think he's, you know, he leans in a little bit more with this, you know, stylishness. But Zendaya is eating everybody up, and that's just the end
Law,
of the story.
There's really no one doing it like Law. Also, like, when you look like Zendaya...
You can wear anything.
You can literally wear anything, and that's what she's doing. So, I mean, if I were Florence Pugh and Zendaya shows up in a fucking knight in shining armor outfit and everyone's, like, obsessed with it, I'd be like, well,
here I am. Why did I even try?
Here I am. I was obsessed with that. I was obsessed with her and Timmy's, like, matching jumpsuits.
Yes.
In Korea.
So good.
Obviously, this most recent one where she, like, lost her voice, but her hair was, like, flowing.
Oh, my God.
That
her
one
hair
was beautiful.
Looked incredible.
She's just stunning. And she's been talking about Tom so much on this little press tour.
And he went to the premiere, and they were spotted, like, just very domestic, very sweet.
We love
and
them.
Also, we always, on this podcast, love an opportunity to point out that we were right.
We were right.
We were right. Y'all doubted us. You doubted us. You said it was PR.
It was not.
Yeah. And it's not. Clearly, very clearly not. If she could take one thing from England back to the States, she would take Tom.
Yeah. Literally.
So cute.
He has Riz. She loves him.
He has Riz.
We love them together. And yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to watch Dune Part 1 tomorrow just to like refresh my memory.
Yay.
And Dune Part 2, we will see you on Friday.
See you in 70 millimeter, baby.
Excited.
Let's go. I'm really excited.
Yeah, me too.
Another topic left over from last week that we just have to comment on passingly, I guess, because there's really not much to say, is that Normani has finally announced the name of her new album. Maybe yes. five years later.
I mean, literally. Feels like 100. I at this point, I'm like, what is it? Decipher? Deception?
I was just about to ask you what
is it. Decipher, deception, delusion?
It's dopamine.
Oh shit, I knew it was with a D. Oh god. The thing that my honest opinion about Normani is like, I feel like there's a lot of bullshit behind the scenes in terms of like her managers and
of
her
course.
Team.
Oh my
like
God.
That we all know that.
Yeah.
I also think like Normani, I'm not convinced yet that like this great vision that she pushes on us, that like she has this great vision and like it's never perfect and like, you know, I'm like, is there a great vision or are you indecisive and you don't actually know what you want to do? Like,
and
you
don't know how to distinguish yourself from the other girls. And you know what? Like, that's okay. Not everyone can be.
Right. And like the things she's put out, like, have been good. Like, yeah. I liked Motivation, obviously.
Motivation was a smash hit for me.
And the last one with the Sean Bankhead choreography. Yes. That was a moment. Like, she makes moments when they happen, but she can never sustain it. So and then she got on live and she was asking people to listen to the songs and pick the songs. I'm like, girl, what we want is for you to literally drop a single and give us a date. We still don't have a date.
No,
we still don't have a date.
And I mean, the clever thing that she did was that the website to like see was like, where's the damn album.com?
Right.
Which is clever and funny because everyone's been saying that to her. But also, like, to not have a date.
Still.
Just a date even for a single. Like, I'm sorry, more of the girls should be a little bit like Kacey Musgraves, who's just like, here's the single, my album comes out in a month, here's another single.
Right.
Like, or Beyonce, the album comes out in a month and a half, here's two songs.
Literally, be done.
I'm over the, like, you know, it can be fun when it's a little bit of like a, oh, when's it coming, whatever, but I'm tired. I'm tired of, like, waiting, I'm tired of the games.
Especially with Normani, like, it's just been too long. We've waited too long. The hype is falling down. Like, I will support Normani because I want to support a black woman in this industry, obviously. But, like, I'm tired, sister. We are all tired.
Can I say something? Motivation is number 46 on my most streamed tracks of all time.
A smash hit record.
Of all time.
I love that. Like, I would love to see where that falls for me.
Like, to the listeners, if you have Spotify, if you don't have stats.fm, I don't know what you're doing because it's the best thing we ever did.
It's literally the best app we've ever.
My favorite app. To not have the date is just so, even the month, like even like at this point, because she announced that like a week ago, at least then like reveal the month, if not just like the exact date, right?
There's literally
this whole like ticker thing. And also, it was revealed, I believe, unless it's been debunked at this point, that Normani or whoever runs Normani's Instagram
is Normani.
is like also running a Normani Stan account that was like trying to get people hype by being like, what's going on? Normani wiped her feed. And it was screenshotted on the like edit profile where you know that it's the person who owns the account. Like,
yes.
Just clownery, clownery, clownery all around.
Clownery.
And again, like, it would just be so exciting if she had just said, album comes out. Even if it's like, album comes out in September.
Anything.
And here's a single.
Dopamine.
I'm just.
Also, like, all she did was give us a photo shoot once again.
Literally.
Like, that's really all she did. Normani, it's just embarrassing. But we'll be sad.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I'll be absolutely engaged with this content, but I don't know. It's just again a very, very long waiting game for this, and again, like you said, people are getting tired of it. So we need a song soon, Normani, and it needs to be a hit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Fifth Harmony girls are all kind of flopping right now, so.
But apparently they all commented on Normani's announcement post, so we're led to believe that they are all on good terms.
That's good. I'm happy for them.
I like that.
I like that too. Camilla was like, Camilla's publicist was like, comment on Normani's post. Comment.
Her in her bleach blonde era, which
I know, but then she gave us that and then gave us nothing. So I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
well, maybe because she realized that every other female artist is putting out music in the next 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, we're literally going to be in, like, a complete drought. Like, July's going to hit. Yeah,
next year. We're going to be so fucked because at least in second half, there's the promise of, I mean, maybe it'll be, like, the men's turn, but I do think, like, Harry will be putting out music and
yeah,
there'll be, you know, some stuff to look forward to. But 2025. I mean,
we have had a Harry break, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost 2 years of Harry's house.
Crazy.
In May.
Time is just flying by.
Yeah,
Harry.
It's really wild.
Will we see you soon?
I mean, I really hope so.
Okay, speaking of something else that we engaged with but was a flop, the Ariana Grande Zach Sang interview.
Yeah. Which I've always associated this Zach Sang guy with Ariana.
Same.
Exclusively, because I feel like she's given him good sound bites in the past. The interviews are always coming back around on TikTok or even Twitter.
He calls her his best friend.
Yeah.
So.
I wouldn't say, like, they were giving best friend vibes to me in this interview, but
no.
It's, like, in a warehouse in New York because...
Oh, my God, the fucking warehouse.
Because she's temporarily in New York right now.
That didn't make sense to me.
About
I was like,
to go back to London to do promo stuff for Wicked. And they had nowhere else to do it. I don't know. This is part one of two. Part two comes out the day the album comes out, and they are going track by track, which I will definitely engage with because
yes,
I want to hear what
agreed.
She has to say. But this 45-minute interview was a whole lot of nothing.
Actually, it was really just her, like,
Talking in circles,
saying nothing. Meg and I were talking about the fact that, like, it is actually kind of embarrassing for her, the way that she has made Glinda, like, her whole entire personality. Glinda has saved her, like, having to remove herself from Glinda is the hardest thing she's ever done. I'm like,
but she'll live inside her forever because,
like,
they're connected.
Her whole life led to playing Glinda. Like,
I thought she wanted to be Elphaba.
Same. I was like, what? Okay.
I thought she won it because didn't she sing The Wizard and I at the anniversary?
Yes, she did. And like
revisionist history.
Literally the Mandela effect. I'm all for being excited about something you play and being earnest, especially as an actor. I love it. But like Ariana Grande is like doing it in a way that I'm like, you're taking yourself so seriously while you're playing. And it's like this character, like while I understand that a character can completely take you over and change you, like you're playing a pink witch, you know? So
it's a fairy tale, babe.
We live for a fairy tale mama, but like I just,
and a musical, come on, love
we
it.
Live for it, and we're gonna live for Wicked, but it's just the way that she's like, she's saying, like, I just, it's a lot. You could tell Ariana Grande is someone who has darkness lies within her because of the experiences that have happened in her life.
Absolutely.
So like, I do just feel like every interaction with her that we view is a performance, even given the fact that, like, as the whole entire internet has said, two albums ago we were Victoria Monet and now we're like fucking, you know, Patti LuPone. I just, it's the accent is crazy to me. I guess maybe the lack of, but still giving an accent. It's wild. The concept album of Eternal Sunshine.
Oh, I know. And her being so non-committal what did he ask her? He was like, is there anything that you want people to know? And she's like, about what? And he's like, about anything. Like,
right.
And of course, again, he's asking her about the process of writing, and she's saying everything but the actual writing process.
Right.
Because he's like, was this like did this all come out at once? Or like, did you do multiple passes of each song? And she was kind of like, we wrote them all. And then, you know, like, I went back over each one. And like, to, you know, because at first I was like, no one's ever going to hear these. It's just for me.
And I'm like, Max Martin came.
Max Martin's not coming if the music's not coming out, babe. Like,
right. Max Martin is not getting on the plane.
He doesn't show up for nothing, okay? Let's be so serious.
Also, she's like, you know, I told myself I wasn't going to put out music until after Wicked Part 1 and 2. But then the strike happened. So you were bored. You needed something to do. So you just put out music. Like, like that's what happened.
It's not I mean, listen, we are very clearly, I think all of the listeners know this, very clearly massive music fans. Music is so important to us. When people are talking about the process of writing music and how it's, like, very therapeutic and all this stuff, it's like, I appreciate that, right? Like, I appreciate you pouring your heart out onto this track and, like, really giving us something that's, like, meaningful to you. But also, is it personal? Is it about your divorce and what you went through?
Is it about SpongeBob?
Is it about Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
Right.
Like, it's just so, the narrative so isn't there. It's not adding up. It's not making sense to me.
No.
It's not clicking. And
her Saturn has returned, but I'm like, you can't steal that from Kacey Musgraves. I legitimately thought she was talking about Kacey Musgraves. I was like, wow, she likes the song. I was like, wow, Kacey's impact. Like,
just so yes, you were really like, you were like, wow, like, yes, give Kacey her props.
Right, like, our Saturn fucking has returned. Like, Kacey Musgraves fucking coined that
she
shit.
She already put it down.
She owns Saturn returning for me. So I was like, oh, I literally, my brain while watching it, I was like, okay, yeah, Kacey, go on. No. Apparently everyone's Saturn has returned.
Sorry, not to, like, rag on Ariana Grande, but, like, but also that's the thing we've been talking about. All of the girls are putting out music about being in your late 20s, early 30s, and having a lot of emotional upheaval and changes, and like thinking about growing up, thinking about adulthood, thinking about, you know, the loss of childhood, the loss of blah blah blah. So it's not a unique concept, which is right. Fine, because like the music is different, each person is putting their different spin on it, so that's
and
fine.
We feel that,
but there's just something about Ariana that makes it, she's so like, again, she's so self-serious.
She's so self-serious.
And that is kind of taking away from it for me. But then the titles of the tracks are Intro, End of the World, Bye, Don't Want to Break Up Again, Saturn Returns Interlude, Eternal Sunshine, Supernatural, True Story, The Boy Is Mine, Yes And, We Can't Be Friends, Wait for Your Love, Wish I Hated You, Imperfect for You, and Ordinary Things Feat Nona.
Nona. I mean, yeah, I think the songs will be good.
The thing is, I'm going to stream... I've said
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. I loved Yes
album.
And.
I am going to stream this album. I already know it. So, it's fine. It's just more, again, the process of it all and, like, her coming back to us as this, like, actually completely different person. And pretending that, like, this has always been her. She's,
right.
Like, back
that's
to her white girl from Florida roots, like, talking, like, normal, like, not putting on, again, like,
a black scent. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing for me, that I think that's what really all of this is stemming from, is just, like, everyone on the internet's like, okay, like, who actually are you? Like,
yeah.
And music aside, like, I'm, as you just said, we're gonna stream, we streamed the past albums, we're gonna stream this album, But like, it's the narrative of like continuing to steal things from people's cultures and then like now deciding that it, you know, I put on
now
this
deciding
mask.
That I'm just like a white theater girl.
Right. Like, you put on the mask to sell records and like become this persona, and now you are not. And like, it's just a weird, it's a weird thing to place. And
and if you're bought into the Ariana, you know, fandom and you're an Arianator, like, it probably, you know, you can get on board. But kind of watching it a little bit from the outside, in terms of like, I feel like we've kind of been like, yes, Ariana, like, go away for a while, like, we don't need you anymore right now. And to hear her be like, you know, say in this interview that the pop career took off and that was great, but that wasn't really what she wanted. She always wanted to be a theater kid. And it's just a very clear rewriting of the narrative.
Absolutely.
And again, with, you know, the one kind of like allusion to her relationship where it's like, no one knows what really happened and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, we kind of can surmise what happened. Like, maybe, yes, okay, like, you're innocent of actually hooking up while he was, you know, broken up with his wife, or while you were with Dalton. But we're not stupid.
We live a life just like you, Ariana Grande.
Yep. We know how things go. Okay.
Yeah. And I totally agree that you're saying like the revisionist history of it all, like her and her publicist sat down in a meeting and they said, we're gonna make history today. We're gonna change history today. And that's really what they're trying to do. But I'm excited for the second Zach Sing interview. I think that'll be more interesting.
Yes. I'm excited for the album. Because it's like kind of the first of what we're getting. I mean, we're getting new Casey tonight. But that's next Friday. We'll be streaming that.
I know, this month. Here we go.
I can't even really think about it because it's just going to overwhelm me.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. What a fateful day.
Yeah, if people don't know, I think we said this, but the album's coming out on Giselle's 29th birthday. So we are going to celebrate it up.
Yes, we're going to yeehaw into the night.
The night long.
I'm so excited. Beyonce did that for us.
She absolutely did.
But yeah, I'm very excited, and yeah, we'll see. Ari, you're on our to watch list.
And then she also was saying she's not sure if she's gonna tour, which I get is probably because of Wicked.
Yeah, but that was also.
It's just weird. I don't know. Like, she should definitely at least do a few shows in like New York and LA or something.
Right.
You know.
I think I feel like that's kind of where people are going these days, but we'll see.
We'll see. I added one more thing onto our list about music because Guts World Tour is with us.
It is. It is with us. Meg sent me, did you send us the review first or did you send me a picture?
I sent you the review from Rolling Stone and I sent you some screenshots of the actual review as I was reading it. The review was kind of, like, ridiculous and hyperbolic to me and didn't say anything. No offense to Rolling Stone, but also kind of offense to Rolling Stone. If you're going to say something, say something. But the narrative in the headline very much felt like, you know, Olivia Rodrigo is not the girl you thought she was, and she's you know, so much more. And again, this is another person, and you know, maybe this is just the way that the pop star is moving, but I don't feel like I know Olivia Rodrigo. I've never
absolutely
kind of
not
felt like I've known Olivia Rodrigo. I find Olivia Rodrigo boring as a person, and maybe that's because she's, like, actually not really showing us her real personality, and that's totally fine. But also then the review of the was just a review of the show from, like, kind of start to finish, and, like, that, you know, she's having fun on stage and the vocals sound good and, like, that's great and that's all fine and dandy. I'm going in a month. Like, I'm actually, Giselle's friend Kubale, shout out, gave us an incredible,
I mean, it
like,
was
6-minute voice note review of the Guts tour.
Become a music critic.
Become a music critic, please. And just made me really excited to go see it. But, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to know every word to every song, but I'm not going to pretend that I know Miss Olivia Rodrigo at all or that I will gain any insight into who she is as a 21-year-old young woman. But, you know, I know we've kind of been hard on her on this podcast in the past, and I think it's because we, like, want her to be great.
Yes.
And
Because Sour mattered
to
us so much.
Oh, my
God. We were, like, so, like, When driver's license came out, like, we, as always.
Giselle, I remember sitting on your bed watching the music video.
In my like, old tiny apartment.
In her windowless bedroom.
Like,
in Brooklyn.
This is before it all happened. Like,
We were like, that's our little sister. You will never make us hate her. And you will never, I don't think you'll make
never.
Us hate her.
You'll never make us
because
hate her.
Because also, like, she is, like, at every stop raising money for local Planned Parenthood.
Yes,
and, like,
we love.
She's slaying. Like, she's. You know, I'm proud of you, Olivia Rodrigo, but, you know, we do just want something more from the next album. We want something different,
yes.
A little bit.
I think this album maybe let us down a little bit, and that's why we've been a little bit harder on her, and I think, as you said, like, she's just kind of boring, which, like, fine. Yeah. Like, and I think it's hard when you have someone, Renee Rapp's a little older, but, like, still, yeah. It's, like, Renee is young, too, and I feel like all Renee has is a personality, like, and her talent, but I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, she's just so much personality.
Almost as big as her talent.
Yeah, she's so much personality and so knows kind of, like, who she is a little bit, even though, like, knowing who you are is still figuring it out, but, like, she's willing to figure it out and make mistakes and, like, do that, where maybe Olivia isn't. Olivia is also a Disney kid, so, like, I think that plays a lot in her.
She's hyper aware of her image.
Yes, I think that plays a lot in her image, but I am happy finally that maybe this tour she's breaking out of her shell. She's finding herself. She's finding her groove. She's gonna get to be with her fans, which, like, we all know they're kind of young, most of them. So interested to see that. But there's also a lot of many fans our age. So we want good things for you, Olivia, and I want better outfits, and I want good things for you, but I want better outfits. Like, I'm tired of the Avril Lavigne but not doing it well. Like, also, like, we're just past that. We're past that. Avril did it well. You don't need to do it again.
I know, and I do think there's just so much of a narrative that it's new and refreshing that she's, like, the voice of punk.
Yeah.
Young punk or whatever, and I just think there's probably a lot of people doing it a lot more punk rock.
I know.
That's okay. You know, like, I think she's trying to go into her pop punk era, like, and, you know, Sour was a bit rock, but
I
think she's just trying to, like, be that, and she's not that, and that's
yeah. I actually feel like she should work with Lindsay Hartman, who mm-hmm. is Hayley Williams and Phoebe Boy Genius, their stylist. Because I actually think Lindsay, and I think it's her name, Lindsay Hartman, I do follow her on Instagram.
Yeah.
But I think that what she's done with Hayley is incredible. Like, Hayley is obviously in her 30s, but, like, Hayley has, like, she is, like, the pop punk girly, like, you mm-hmm. know, alt rock girly, but, like, and she dresses for that on stage, but, like, she dresses so cute, so in the realm of, like, you know, like, she's doing the Sandy Liang thing. And I'm like, I want Olivia to be doing the Sandy Liang thing, but she's not. And also with Boy Genius, like, I think that she does them well, too, for three people who, like, you know, different heights, different body types, different vibes, but, like, mm-hmm. she dresses them in a cohesive way. Like, I would just love to see Olivia work with someone who falls more in that realm if she's gonna, like, be a pop-punk girly, you know?
Right.
She's pop, very pop, but, you know.
Oh, absolutely, and that's the thing. It's, like, I do think there are a lot of older people who are, like, this is really your, you know, rock and roll punk princess. And I get why, but again, everything is just a bit nostalgic and a bit recycled, and nothing that gets recycled is as maybe as good.
Yeah.
Not nothing, but a lot of what gets recycled isn't as good. Anyway, good luck to her on her tour. I hope that the vocals stay crisp, because I want to hear good live vocals.
I know. I'm excited for you. I think it'll be fun. As you said, I would probably know every word, too, so I want to get him back. I want to tell him something gonna make him feel bad, you know?
Yeah, I actually put that on this morning and I was kind of jamming.
I need to do a Guts re-listen.
Anyway,
speaking of things that I mean, let's go on to Avatar that we loved personally. Like,
oh my god, yeah.
I've made the conscious decision. At first, when I finished the series, I was like, okay, let me go see what, like, the people are saying. I, like, got maybe three videos in, and I was like, I don't want this. I actually don't care what you random person has to say, because I liked it. And also, like, we can just like things. Like, mm-hmm. it's not... I'm sorry. Avatar, And I'm speaking as someone who, like, Meg watched it in adulthood. I watched it as a kid. Yeah. But, like, I'm speaking from, like, watching it as a kid. But, like, Avatar was never going to be like it was when we were 15 or 11 years old, 9 years old. Like, I'd guarantee if I rewatch it as an adult, it's going to hit completely different for me, just as it did watching the live action. Like, mm-hmm. And also, like, converting a cartoon to live action is never going to do the same thing. Also, converting a 25-episode cartoon kids TV show into an 8-episode Netflix show, things are going to get cut. Things are going to change. They have to change it to be dramatic. Like, people just, like, don't get it. They don't get it. I just can't.
People wanted an exact replica.
Shot for shot.
Shot for shot of the cartoon live action. I went through the episodes for the cartoon on Netflix.
Yeah.
Just to see, like, the storylines that we missed. And honestly, like, yeah, there were a few. But
it's a lot of filler.
They really covered a lot of the major points.
Things I forgot, honestly. Like, I was like, oh, yeah.
We went to Omashu.
We met Jet.
We met Jet. We went to the spirit world. We met the bounty hunter.
Yeah.
We met the warriors of Kyoshi. I can't remember. I'm remembering all of these names right now. Wow.
Yes.
And then we got to the Water Kingdom, and, like, we had the whole, like, him getting captured and Zuko saving him.
Yeah.
And, like, the mask. Like, we had all of the points that, like, make it vital, like, or that are vital to the character development that we're going to see over the 3 seasons.
Right.
So, again, was it perfect? Absolutely not. Like, there was, I mean, Princess Yue's wig.
Princess, they spent a lot of budget on some things and then actually no budget on others. Like, the budget ran out at the end. That's fine. It did run out, though. Princess Yue.
But, again, I had so much fun watching it. I got emotional.
Aang.
The little boy playing Aang, his name's Gordon. He is
Gordon, we love
so
you.
Cute. He has such an adorable face that yes. just makes you, like, you look at it and you just want to cry. And then when he looks sad.
His little voice.
When he looks sad and he tears up, I am immediately a puddle of tears.
Yeah, same.
Just completely emotionally wrecked.
Also, people are not liking this Sokka casting. I kind of thought the Sokka casting was perfect.
It was great.
I thought that he gave me Sokka energy the whole time.
I know there was a bit of controversy about, like,
is he Native American?
Is
or
he
Native?
I think it's something about, like, the tribe that he claims to be a part of isn't some Reg. I don't know. I was reading about it on his Wikipedia page, and I just kind of decided that, like, at this point, I don't think it was a bad enough thing for them to, like, obviously take away.
Also, I'm sorry. Like,
so
that whole show was very, very, very what?
Was completely whitewashed.
Like the cartoon?
Yeah,
yeah.
Initially.
And
yeah.
I felt like the live action was extremely representative of a lot of different Asian cultures, personally, from watching. And, yeah. like, once again, I'm not in the weeds, but, like, watching it, I was like, wow. Like, even, for example, like, Avatar, like, the one that stuck out to me the most was Avatar Roku. Mm-hmm. When they showed him, like, in he's so whitewashed in the cartoon that when he showed him as, like, a strong, older Asian man, I was like, yes! We yeah. love this. Like, this is what I'm loving to see. Mm-hmm. I felt as though it was very representative of Asian culture.
Yeah.
Once again, as someone who's not Asian, but just watching it, I was like, love the different colors, the different, you know, I just mm-hmm. really appreciated that.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm seeing today something has gone viral where it was like the clip of Zuko where he's walking and he's like young and like unscarred and he
yeah.
walks and he walks through a doorway and it like pivots into like present where he
yeah.
has the scar. Someone's like, oh, Avatar will always be famous for this scene. And everyone's quote tweeting it being like, this is bad. Like, what are you talking about? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, maybe it's not a great shot.
Yeah.
But why are you going to yuck people's yum? If they like
right.
it, they like it. And I'm
and also people being like, Jet, the guy that played Jet should have played Zuko. I'm like, let Zuko be. I liked him. He was great.
I liked him
He
too.
Gave me character. He gave me character development. He gave me emotion. I loved it. I thought
and
it was
I love
great.
Him and Uncle Iroh. I think the Iroh casting is great and really.
Uncle Iroh was the best character for me.
It's like a real step up from the cartoon too. Like that's where I think you can find improvement from the cartoon.
Same.
In the, like acting and the expression. Obviously, like the you know the airbending and the waterbending isn't
yeah.
going to look as good in live action because guess what? It's not real.
It's a car.
Not real.
Tune. It's a cartoon.
People. Nobody has elemental powers.
Literally.
Unfortunately, yeah. It's sad, but they don't.
Yeah, people just, like, as you said, love to yuck yum. People like to be upset. I got so much enjoyment.
Same. And I think what's good is that, you know, it's gotten decent enough reviews. I think a lot of people are watching it. I think it's still number one on Netflix. And so I think it'll get a season two. And honestly, what they should do is greenlight season two and season three back to back. And film them all. Netflix will never do that because they're obnoxious and annoying. But I think if they do that and take the notes that people have, good notes that people have, I know a lot of people have some notes on Katara's arc, which isn't as that, you know, as a character, she's not as angry, I think, is something that's kind of missing. I think Katara had a lot of rage, and that was really something unique almost to see.
Yeah.
it's probably what made people hate Katara as a female character, because women aren't allowed to be angry. But
right.
But I hope they explore that a little bit more in season two.
And Toph. We have big characters coming up.
And of course, people were mad that, Aang didn't waterbend in the entire first season. And that feels a little silly because the book one is water. But, you know, he's going to be on the road with Katara next season. And they can show it then. And that's all. I'm not that mad about it. It's fine.
I'm not mad about it. And I agree. Similar to the way I felt about One Piece that I've never seen. So I really didn't have a source material for it.
Yeah.
Avatar, I have the source material, and I thought they did just a fine job. As someone watching for nostalgia, I was
hooked. People were saying that the movie was better, Giselle. People are just lying.
People love to lie, and they literally hate to just, like things. They can't... They need discourse. What?
Remember fun.
Like fun, period?
Yeah, like fun. Like having fun. Oh!
I remember fun, period, and I remember having fun.
Don't ever remind Jack Antonoff about fun. He hates it.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he was accepting an award recently, and they played We Are Young, and he was literally like, what the fuck is this?
I hate that. I loved fun, period,
Jack
at the time.
Jack Antonoff has a bit of an attitude. We're coming for you soon, Jack Antonoff.
Yeah, I mean.
There is a reckoning, but... Keep coming.
I'm screaming hides from no one. So here we will find you. Loved Avatar. Praying for a season two.
Yes.
Netflix, you wronged us so many times that we deserve this.
This is for Julie.
This is for
Winx.
Winx getting canceled. It's so upsetting.
And the thing is they have to do it because it's just three seasons. Like, they can do it.
And the story is done. Yeah. You don't need to write anything. Execute.
We don't even need Korra. We're not asking for Korra.
No, I'm not asking for Korra. Korra is something I watched as an adult, and I was upset at Korra every fucking moment.
Yeah.
So. Avatar, you should watch it if you haven't. It's fun. And final thing.
Yes.
The girls are not all right. The girls are not all right.
This is just a little reminder that your girls have insight. Your girls have foresight.
And we're often correct.
Your girls are detectives, lawyers, and we were talking about Kate Middleton before the masses.
Literally.
And now look at the internet. Look at Twitter.com. Look at the memes. Look at the detectives online trying to find out where Miss Kate Middleton is, because there's more buffoonery and clownery afoot. William dropped out last minute of this memorial ceremony for his godfather. And, you know that girl, do you get that girl on TikTok with the glasses who talks about the royal family? Very, very educational, very telling us
I don't know if I've seen her.
I'll send her to you.
Yeah.
She's great. But she was talking about this, and she's really not engaging with the Where is Kate discourse, which is, good of her, because she's very much factual, telling us like it is. But she was saying how bad this was of Prince William, because as heir to the throne, he needs to be showing that he's ready to step up and be king, especially now that King Charles is sick.
Yeah.
And this is just, a very bad look, and that already the rest of European royalty feels the UK royalty looks down on them and they don't bother to go. They send like secondary members of the family to all these things. And so that this would have been a really big moment. So clearly something very, very stressful and dark is going on behind the scenes to make him miss that.
I hope, I mean, what is happening to Kate Middleton?
There's a lot of speculation. I mean, one thing is like that she had a hysterectomy, which like could explain like the longer period of,
yeah.
And she had a lot of issues when she was pregnant and whatever. Cause the abdominal surgery thing just like isn't checking out anymore.
Yeah, no.
So again, don't want to speculate about a woman's health. I hope that she's okay.
Truly.
But also like, remember fun, like let us speculate. If they're not gonna like get their shit together and tell us what happened or show us a photo,
then people are going to speculate.
Then we're gonna speculate. And we're gonna continue to speculate until we see her again.
Literally, like,
show us Kate Middleton.
Where is Kate Middleton? Give us Kate. Literally.
But you know whose fault it is? Meghan Markle.
Of course.
Of course. Just living her life in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Her and Harry. And the babies. But yeah, everyone. Wow. A power-packed week. Hey! We are back. Next week, Dune Part 2 review, other things.
Von Dutch review.
Von Dutch review. I mean.
Oscar's upon us soon, G.
I know, we need to.
It'll be the Ari album review and the Oscars recap in the same week.
Oh, I mean, exciting. That's a power-packed episode.
That's going to be exciting. So get
caught
up, everyone.
Lots of good things to come. Lots of good things to come. You know what season's approaching us. Hot Men.
Oh, shit. Right.
We've got not really. I'm like, Meg, LOL. It approaches when we decide it approaches. But.
Yeah. No. Early April. We have about a month.
Yes. Prepare yourselves.
Prepare yourselves.
But yes, that is all she wrote, everyone. Thank you once again for listening to I'm Screaming. We love you deeply. Leave a review. LOL. And we will see you all next week. Love you, Meg.
Love you, G.